commissioner in District 4. I'm co-hosting this public forum on the Cancer Center with Alicia Edwards from District 3. Ask that you please excuse Commissioner Edwards. She ran over to the school board meeting for a few minutes and then she'll be here directly. It's important for us to make clear from the start that this event is not being hosted by the Grant County Commission, but only by two commissioners, Ms. Edwards and myself, acting as individuals. Gila Regional Medical Center and the Cancer Center are owned by Grant County, but the Grant County Commission, by state statute, does not get involved in the operations of the hospital other than to appoint a board of trustees who hire a CEO to operate the hospital. The reason we decided to host this forum is that we're getting so many calls from people who have questions and comments about the proposed changes at the Cancer Center, and we thought they needed a place to be heard. We're not taking a side because we can't, but our goal is to help get your concerns and questions out into the public. As you speak this evening, we ask that you'll keep your comments to 5 minutes or less so that we can accommodate all those who have signed up to speak. If you can make it more timely than that, that's welcome also. I'm not in the habit of telling anyone what to say or how to say it, so you can take the next thing I say with a grain of salt. They asked that I say this, so I will. We ask that you keep all your comments respectful and please be careful about personal attacks. We understand that Commissioner Edwards and I understand that the word cancer is a scary word, and I'm fortunate enough to have never had the type of cancer that was significant to be treated up at our cancer center, and I'm glad that I've never had a close loved one who has, but I understand that many of you have. We respect you, and we respect what you have to say, and we'll start with so if we can please keep it respectful and watch for the personal attacks, it'd be appreciated. We'll start by having our Gila Regional Hospital Chief Executive Officer Alfredo Ontiveros. Yeah. And then I'll see if the next speaker is here by that time. I know this is kind of backwards, but we're just kind of set up for this. So if you can speak this way, it'd be great. Thank you.
Mr. Ontiveros.
Hello, all. My name is Alfredo Ontiveros, and I'm the Chief Executive Officer. At least I'm going to be the Chief Executive Officer here for another 3 weeks. So I arrived, just for you all to know, if you don't already know, if you've been reading in the paper, I arrived 9 January to act as the interim CEO, and it's been a daily challenge, I can tell you here. So, I was here 20 years ago, 1995 to 1998, as your hospital administrator for almost 3.5 years there. I know Karen personally, because I remember her coming into my office and asking how are we going to provide chemotherapy drugs to patients in Grant County so they don't have to travel. So I was here for 3.5 years, and I come back in January. Well, I came back in 2007 on an assignment, and I saw the Cancer Center was already being built, surgery center, and also then I come back in January 9th. What I'm going to talk about right now is a request for proposal process that we entered in. And I don't have exact dates, but if we need to get exact dates, I'll find it for you. My understanding of the process was that we entered into a request for proposal. We actually entered into a request for proposal with Dr. McEnany's group some years ago. We did not. Once we get a bid, we only had one bid at that time, my understanding was, and we entered into contract negotiations at that time. We were not able to complete, my understanding was that we were not able to complete the negotiations, so we continued to extend the then current contract. So here comes November of 2016. My understanding is that we can no longer extend the contract, so we asked, we talked to Dr. McEnany and her group, and we both agreed, my understanding is that we both agreed to let another request for proposal out. Well, we did, following the rules that we have to, because your hospital is a county hospital, county government hospital, and we have to follow procurement code rules and regulatory rules that maybe other hospitals don't have to follow RS type, but that's only to make sure that we get the best of services for the community. So we actually issued the request for proposal. The request for proposal this time, we had nine organizations that actually requested the proposal. There were two that submitted the proposal. Their proposals was Dr. McEnany's group and University of New Mexico Cancer Services. So we had two bidders, so to speak. So the hospital created an evaluation committee. The evaluation committee did have a physician on it, and we went on with the request for proposals. There were two submissions. We evaluated the proposals on criteria that was set. Both of the bidders knew what the criteria was. They sent their proposals in. The evaluation committee evaluated on that criteria and selected the University of New Mexico. And that's where, and so by selecting the University of New Mexico Cancer Services, we are engaging with them in contract negotiations similar to what we had engaged Dr. McEnany's group with the first request for a proposal some years ago. So basically that's where we're at. We actually had an initial evaluation or initial meeting last week. The process is not ending right now. The process is simply a process now where we have to, GRNC, when I say we, I'm saying GRNC has to come to a contract agreement with the University of New Mexico. If we do not come to a contract agreement with the University of New Mexico, then we're going to be in the same spot that we were when we couldn't complete the negotiations with the previous RFP. So our goal, or the goal of the board and the goal of hospital administration, is to make sure that we continue to have high quality cancer services here in Grant County, and that we also have a smooth transition between, if we are able to reach an agreement. If we're not able to reach an agreement, I can't tell you right now what we're gonna do. But we will do something. There will be cancer services in Grant County. Of that, I'm sure, because that's the goal of the board. Where are you there, Commissioner?
That's
probably the end of the statement for now. I'm not going to present anything on the hospital.
Okay.
That has nothing to do with this.
All right. Okay. All right.
Thank you. All right.
Is Mike Torres here? Okay. Karen DeGenevieve?
Hi everybody, I'm Karen DeGenevieve. In case you don't know who I am, I'm a nurse practitioner that has been here from the very beginning of cancer care in Silver City. And Mike was going to give, louder? Okay. Mike was going to talk about how this whole thing started, and if he's walking through the door, so he is hopefully going to talk next about how we started this whole thing. But basically, I'm here to talk about this whole process and how it was done in a way that we were not really happy with learning about this. The hospital is in negotiation with UNM, and we've been here 22 years. We've given service to this community without fail. We have done a great job, and we are with the other freestanding cancer center other than UNM in the state. New Mexico Cancer Center is an incredible place and has incredible doctors that come down here and then are part of our community for 22 years. Dr. McEnany started this and brought down Dr. Clark and Dr. Lieben. Dr. Lieben, who left the practice, went to Boston. Dr. Clark was here up until April 25th for 19 years. I can remember when the plane didn't fly, he was so upset that he drove down from Albuquerque over the Black Range to do his clinic and then drove home at night. And that's the kind of quality we have here. We have incredible doctors. Dr. Fontaine, who is here now, has been the top doc in oncology in New Mexico for 3 years in a row. And she is a genetic expert. Dr. Aladina, who's taking Dr. Clark's place, is very supportive of us and has been here years ago and then came back. So we have people that are not only qualified, but they're very dynamic, and their patients love them, and we love them, and we've been just so thankful that all these years we've had the quality that we have. I don't know what's going to happen, and I have no answers about anything as far as transferring care if UNM takes this over. I'm sure that there's going to be people that will come down from UNM, but I can also remember when we built this cancer center, and it was 2006 that Benny Altamirano, Susie Trujillo, and Dr. McEnany fought up at the Roundhouse, you know, after UNM lobbied for all the money to go to them, and they actually awarded us about $5 million to build this cancer center. It was from the tobacco tax. How perfect to have a cancer center built by the tobacco tax, because 30% of our patients are related to tobacco, you know, as far as their cancer. So the idea that now they would take over what we've built here after they fought against us is really a difficult thing for me to swallow. I just can't understand how they could look at these two RFPs when they're supposedly so close together and pick an entity that you don't know about. Again, somebody that's been here 22 years. Having only one doctor on that team does not make sense to me, because there's no input. This is a county hospital. Where was the input from you guys, from the doctors, from the patients, from the community, and or even from me? And I just feel very disgruntled about that. I truly believe in what we've built, and this was built specifically with you in mind. You know, when this all started, I asked the community, what do you need in the cancer center? Or what do you need in, you know, getting a community cancer plan? We were able to give you guys 9 of the 10 things that we came up with at the time. And that was way back when, in 1995. We couldn't give you radiation. And thanks to Benny Altamirano and Susie Trujillo and Dr. McEnany, we fought for it, we got it, and we even got now the best machine in the state. It's a Trilogy, and it's here in Silver City. And that was through the tobacco tax also. So this is kind of what has transpired, and even though I understand the RFP issue, the way it's set up for the county, I just don't think it was fair that we didn't have input into this. It's a request for proposal to take over the working of the cancer center. So of the two, we've been here 22 years. We have not had any major problems, and I'm hoping that everybody has felt that they got good care here. So switching it at this point in time, for me, doesn't make much sense. We are also, as New Mexico Cancer Center, part of it, we're our little branch, and that's the mothership up in Albuquerque. We call it the mothership. We're one of 10 in the first of 10 certified medical oncology medical homes, and we have a program that triages patients to prevent people from having to go to the emergency room or needing to get hospitalized. We try really hard to take care of all of those patients immediately in our department so that that doesn't happen. And so I'm on call 24/7. The Cancer Center docs back me 24/7. We have the opportunity whenever to send patients up.
Yeah. Karen, could you tell us some of this mysterious criteria that we didn't meet? They just keep saying criteria.
We don't know what the, you know, how close we were.
Well, what kind of criteria are they looking at? Personal recommendations,
amount of hours. Dr. McEnany has the list, so I'm going to have her come up and talk next. Mike isn't here. He's not here yet. Well, we're still working back at the cancer center. My hours. So I'm going to turn this over to Dr. McEnany, who's currently running for the president of the AMA of the United States.
There are still a few more chairs up here, and if anyone needs to sit, we can accommodate you. Okay.
I'll turn the mic.
So, and we've got someone working on turning on the air. Sorry about that. But there are some more chairs. If someone needs to sit, please push someone who doesn't need to sit out of a chair. We'll make accommodations for you. This is Mike Torres. He's the office manager at the Cancer Center.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I'm going to tell you a story about cancer care in Grant County and how it started. We see movies and we see stories and television shows about people that have dreams, and it's always amazing when it works out and you're like, boy, that's kind of unbelievable.
Mike, not everyone can hear you.
Okay. So Karen DeGenevieve had a dream a number of years ago, and she started cancer care in Silver City, one patient at a time in a special care unit when she was the director of the special care unit. And then a patient of Dr. McEnany's gave her a card and said, you have to call Dr. McEnany. And Karen picked up the phone and called Dr. McEnany and said, we need to start cancer care in Super City. And Dr. McEnany said, get me a ticket, and on a plane ticket, I'll fly down and we'll talk. And that was about 22 years ago. And September 1st of 1995, Kiel Regional started to see their first patient. And cancer care started with one clinic a month with a few patients, and the hard work and dedication of Karen continuing to dream that we could make it bigger and we could make it better. And Dr. McEnany's dedication to come down to Silver City and provide the care. And we grew from when they were doing it. It was one room by the mental health unit with one chair and one desk. And then it was where the pharmacy is now. And we had a few chairs there and two exam rooms and one bathroom. And then we moved down across from where the boardroom is, where the infusion center is now, with four chairs, and then it continued to grow. The doctors continued to come down. We served anybody from TRC to Las Cruces, and we took care of them. And in 2005 and 2006, Susie Trujillo and former Senator Benny Altamirano were able to get funding from the state through the tobacco settlement funding, and we got, the hospital got $5 million to build what is now the cancer center. And we've been there for 10 years. April, we celebrated 10 years of providing chemotherapy services. June of 98, so for 9 years now, we've done radiation services. A few years ago, they were able to get more funding through the state to get the machine that we now have that provides radiation treatment. It's one of the better ones in the state. And so it is the dedication of Karen and her dream and her hard work. And when people told her no or you can't do it, she did it. She asked, why can't I do it? She said, why can't I? And she wasn't afraid to pick up the phone or to figure it out. And for the last 22 years in Grant County at Gila Regional, we've been proud to serve the nurses, the present and past nurses, and the staff that has worked with us have made care in our community possible at Gila Regional. And for that, we're proud. We've been grateful to serve the patients that we've served. We've been grateful that they trusted us with their lives. And we've had hundreds of success stories, and every patient has touched us. And for that, we're grateful. It's disappointing at this point that the people that have been part of this for so long and have dedicated our lives and our time to provide that service may have to exit. So, thank you.
Dr. Fontaine in the back, who just got here from seeing patients with cancer. I want all the cancer center staff to please stand up. Thank you so much for all you have done. So, this is hard for me, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Mr. Ontiveros talked a little bit about the RFP process, and he got a little bit wrong because he wasn't here, but I was. And when we started this whole thing out, when Karen called me up and said, you're coming down to Silver City to see patients, and I said, sure, why not? I met a force of nature then. We didn't do any RFPs. We said to the hospital, can we come in and can we give cancer care here? And they said, sure. And so each time we would grow, we would talk to the hospital. The hospital was doing well. They liked having us here because we were dedicated to keeping people local. Healthcare is local. You shouldn't have to travel. So we travel so you don't have to. We recognized a long time ago as we worked with this hospital that they would really like to have had a full-time oncologist. So we looked at the numbers, and the only numbers we've ever been able to get from this community, just because it's small, is about 120 patients a year. An average full-time oncologist sees about 300-350 new patients every year. So there really isn't enough here to keep somebody busy. And if you bring a doctor down, doctors, I'm going to tell you a bit about doctors. Doctors, there's a couple types of us. One is private practice doctors, which is what Dr. Fontaine and I and Dr. Clark are. And academic doctors are a little bit different. Private practice doctors do what we do because we dedicate our lives to wanting to take care of patients. That's what we do. And as we do that, we form a relationship with the patient. And that relationship is two-way, which is why I'm choking up a bit. It's a two-way relationship. We refer to patients as my patients, just like you would say my mother or my daughter. We feel that level of ownership, and therefore we work hard to take care of people. Academics are a little bit different. People who go into academic medicine want to take care of patients, and they will do a good job. But they also want to do research, and they also want to do teaching. So it worried me for this cancer center that Karen and Mike and everybody else here and I have built, because if you sign on to be an academic oncologist and you're not able to do research and take care of patients or take care of teaching students, you didn't get the job you signed on to do, and I worry about how long they will stay. We, in this RFP process, there have never been an RFP before until 2015. And I was kind of shocked when they said, you have to fill out an RFP because that had never been a problem before. So we got their RFP and we spent about 2 weeks filling it out. And then they said, okay, go for it. You got the RFP because nobody else wanted the job, I guess. Maybe they would have gotten rid of us then. But they seemed happy, and we were making money for the hospital. We knew that we were making money for the hospital. We were delivering good care. We offered to bring clinical trials. We worked with the hospital to keep people local, and economically, a small town needs a hospital. It needs that hospital to survive. You can't have medical care in a community without a hospital, and so we came down here and we didn't try to take over the imaging or take the radiation or take all the money. We knew that we had to be able to pay the doctors and the nurses and the therapists and everybody else who stood up earlier and all the people who are still over at the cancer center. But we know that the hospital made a lot of money taking care of cancer patients here, because if people stay here for cancer, they stay here to get their gallbladder out. They stay here to have their baby. They get their CAT scans here. They get their other services here, and it fills the community, and that's important to us. I've watched this community for a long time, and I feel part of it. I've known these doctors for a long time. I've worked with them. And it takes a team to take care of cancer patients. It takes a team of people who can call one another up and say, I need this biopsy. I need this port. I need this done for these patients. And everybody would do it. So we were shocked when, after we got the phone call from the hospital lawyer, who said we have to renegotiate the contract. So we explained how we'd spent several years renegotiating this one, and that it was working okay, and that we could scale things up if you needed more doctor days and scale it down if you needed less, so that there wasn't that much expense. And they said every 6 months or so I get a phone call from this lawyer, and they say, well, we haven't gotten around to negotiating your contract yet, so we have a 6-month extension. And I said, sure, whatever. I mean, meanwhile, we're still coming down here. We're still seeing patients. When we got the letter that terminated our contract on January 17th, which means July 17th is our last day here, we were shocked. I mean, we had never had that formal of a contract before. We had always had the assumption that we're all grown-ups and we're all professionals and we all care about these patients, and we're going to be here to take care of them. So when we got the termination letter, we were shocked. Then we were told, when we called up to ask about it, that there would be an RFP. Well, we waited and waited. Finally, I called down to somebody, and they said, oh yeah, we issued an RFP, and you have a week or 2 weeks or something to write it. So we dropped everything else we were doing, Anita Chavez, me, and others, and we wrote an RFP. Now, the criteria you were asking about for the evaluation was 100 points. 35 points should go to the ability to provide medical and radiation oncology. Well, we've been doing that now for a while, so I think we've proven that ability. So we think we should get all 35 points. The second one was the ability to provide services to Gila Regional for 35 points. For 22 years, we've been providing services for Gila Regional. The university has not, but we have. So we think we got those 35 points. The second was a commitment to rural medicine. I think this counts as rural. So does my Gallup clinic. We used to have a Rio Doso clinic. We think that counts as rural. So we think as a private practice that we have a dedication to rural practice. If we didn't have a dedication to rural practice, we wouldn't have come to New Mexico. So we think we should have gotten those 15 points. And the other part was cost. And we listed everybody's salary. We try to pay our people well. We give them good benefits. It costs money to do the physics. It costs money to keep that machine running. It costs money to pay nurses to be able to be here to give the chemotherapy. We listed all of the salaries and said, this is exactly where that money is going. So I don't know how you could do it cheaper. So we think we should have gotten all 15 points for cost as well, which is 100 points. So we don't know how an entity that's never been here and it didn't even have plans that we knew of to be here is going to do better. I emailed Dr. Wilman at the university and said, so you're going to take over our practice down here and force us out. So I didn't say force us out in the email. I was much more polite. I said, so I would like to know what physician we can talk to, because if we're going to have to transition our patients, we don't want this process to hurt any patients. Tell me who. I never got an answer. I never got an email. I haven't gotten a phone call. I haven't gotten anything about how they're going to transfer patients from one set of doctors to another. That worries me a lot. It worries me a lot of whether or not this community will be able to continue providing cancer care here if they don't have a bunch of doctors who really feel like we are part of your community and we want to be part of your community. Now, we have officially appealed. We put in our official appeal in writing and we send it to the state. Before I did that, I talked to a lot of the doctors, Dr. Ski and other doctors in the community, and said, do you want us? Because if they didn't want us, we wouldn't want to stay. But they were all very encouraging and said, no, you provide a good service. So we're waiting for this official appeal. We have not been allowed to see the RFP from the university. They sent us a redacted copy that they were going to send to the county commission. We said, don't redact anything, send it. Send the whole thing. We're proud of what we wrote, and we did it right. We would like to see how they scored us on those four criteria. And we would like to see how they scored the university on those four criteria. Because we frankly do not understand why, after years of service, we did not score 100%, and I don't know how you can beat 100%. So we've officially appealed. I want to thank everybody in this room for being here for us. We've been here for you, and it's that two-way street relationship that means a lot to us. And we want to stay. We want to keep coming down here. We want to keep taking care of you. We want to be able to do what we've done before, that as the need grows, we grow the program so that we have enough doctors and nurses and radiation therapists to take care of the people that need care. But not so many that they're sitting around, you know, doing the crossword puzzle. Nobody needs to pay for that. So we're trying to do the right thing. We would request that the committee and that the hospital board reconsider this decision and do it in an open process with input from everyone, the patients. Thank you so much.
Chris DeBolt, and then Nancy Thomas, in that order, please.
Good afternoon. Thank you, County Commissioners, and all of you for being here.
Not us. No.
Well, thank you everyone for being here and for allowing us to come and have this forum to talk to you. It's been a tough day for me. I was working at the clinic and would have flown out at 5 o'clock, and I couldn't do that today, not just because of this meeting, but having to spend extra time with each and every patient that I was seeing today, you know, just talking about what's happening, what's potentially happening with the cancer program. And, you know, with every patient, it's almost coming down to tears, just trying to fight back the emotion that we could be losing the opportunity to continue to care for the patients that we care for. You know, as Dr. McEnany said, and I told one of the patients today, I'm like, I was saying, you know, you can't just decide, you know, you want another husband or you want another wife and just switch, you know. It's a tough thing when you have to go through a separation with somebody that you love and care for. And it's the same thing with the doctor-patient relationship. You know, walking into the cancer center and getting a diagnosis of cancer, and you meet with that person who promises to be there to help you to go through that struggle, you know, and so many of you have been through that struggle. Many of you, and those of you who are here, you have survived it, you have families who have survived it. I mean, I saw one patient today, and just a few months ago, you know, saw her with such advanced disease. And in 3 months, the medication that she's taken has made such a difference. You know, and you're hugging and just feeling the joy of seeing somebody having a better life. I mean, every patient is my family. I don't know how are we going to just let go of that? I really hope that with us here, with you here, that the hospital can reconsider. I've been coming here for 2 years, and I would really love to be able to continue to come here to take care of patients if you would let me. And I know that all our staff would love to be able to continue to take care of patients. I mean, the kind of care that we provide here is so different. I mean, we have Karen here, and all of you know that you can call her in the middle of the night, you can call her on the weekend, you know, and she would listen to you and would get up and would come and take care of you. The nurses will stay late to do whatever it takes. You know, patients call me in Albuquerque, doctors call me at any time about what's going on with the patient, you know, and Mike is just amazing. I mean, I come in and there's a long list of patients, and somehow he keeps me on track and he gets everybody seen and everything taken care of. So it's just special. It is just special to be able to come here and to take care of patients and to live with that satisfaction that we know that we can make a difference in your life. And I know so many of you have such few resources that you can't drive to Las Cruces or drive to Albuquerque. And my fear is your fear that this change could lead to a loss of the program. And if you can't afford to travel far for care, that you will not get care. You know, and people who would have been able to survive and have a longer life and a good quality of life, they find themselves dying sooner with their cancer. So I thank you for your support, and I really hope that support makes a difference. Thank you.
Commissioner Edwards, would you stand? I introduced you a while ago, but you were at the other meeting. This is Alicia Edwards, Commissioner District 3. She's co-hosting this event with me. And she will be, we're doing pretty good with time, but just to stick to exact 5 minutes, she'll show you a little 30, you have 30 seconds left, 1 minute left, and then please stop now. So we'll have Chris DeBolt, and then Nancy Collins. Sorry. If you'll please introduce who you are so everyone will know and what your association is being here.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christy Bolt. I worked for the hospital for almost 10 years. Retired, a little over a year ago. I'm here because I'm concerned, I'm greatly concerned about this issue, and have deep feelings for the hospital and for the caregivers and for the quality of care. I appreciate all people who choose to go into cancer care because I think it is one of the most heart-wrenching and difficult things that a physician or any caregiver nurse can do. I worked for the American Cancer Society in Florida, which is its own division because the cancer burden is so high there. I did all of the patient services and survivor services and programs for a number of years for seven counties in Southwest Florida. So I don't imagine that there is anybody in this room that is either not a cancer survivor, a loved one of somebody who has lost someone to cancer, or knows somebody with cancer. I bet if I asked hands to go up, every hand is going to go up eventually, because that is what cancer is in this country. So I want to express my appreciation for everyone who does this work, because it is so hard. My understanding was, until tonight, that this was just a recommendation. I was not aware that this was in contract negotiations, and that has not been made public, so I'm a little confused about that. I wrote down here, therefore it's not yet a decision, or I'm hoping it's not yet a decision, because that's good. It needs careful reconsideration and hearing from everyone in this community. The Cancer Center has been and continues to be a shining star of the service line at our hospital. Our hospital has special place. In my opinion, and I think in many others here, obviously, and others who aren't here, it should continue to do the excellent work that it has done for many years, and I'm hoping that tonight will make a difference here. It should. I have two major concerns with having UNM Cancer Center, and I'm not dissing them because, like I said, anybody who does this work is, they're special people. This is hard. UNM Cancer Center is equally adept, probably, at doing some of this work, but not in the manner that it's been done here for 22 years. I have a couple of issues that the main one is, and I don't know that this is even being discussed except on a low level, the UNM Cancer Center is related to the state, which is related to the state budget. We have to think very carefully about our state budget and the fact that right now they've been asked to cut $8 million from their services. So, thinking about that, I am fearful of becoming a couple of things, and I'm not saying this to denigrate anything with UNM. They're renowned for some of the work they do. But I have seen it where I was before. A hospital becomes a feeder for another larger hospital that has more services. especially in very difficult economic times. And so I think that needs to be very carefully considered in the discussion here, and I agree it needs to be open and honest and transparent to the community and have much more involvement than Board of Trustees of the hospital and some caregivers involved. So, I think that might be it. I'm not sure. But I'm so glad to see everybody here. And please keep calling, talking, saying it, make the visit, do it, because it's not over. Thank you.
My name is Nancy Thomas, and I want to go on record as saying I'm not a paid protester. I'm here because in January last year, my husband was diagnosed with cancer. We were immediately sent to Tucson, to the University of Arizona, where he received excellent treatment. But, as had been pointed out earlier, travel takes a toll on a cancer patient. When we discussed coming back here to the Cancer Center, Dr. Persky and in Tucson said that Karen DeGeneveve and Dr. Clark were renowned in their field. Therefore, the transition was made smoothly. Again, I cannot thank the Cancer Center here, I'm going to call it our Cancer Center, for the love and the compassion that you gave and give to every patient and their family. My husband did not have a port, but I want to thank Kelly, Shelley, Maggie. They always felt his vein. From the time that we walked in the door at our cancer center, we were met with nothing but competency, love, and compassion. Mike, Karen, Dr. Clark, the office staff, and all the nurses were always there for us. I want to jump a minute to something else that kind of bothers me about the plan, the proposal for the University of New Mexico. My sister, in February, and we thought the cancer scare was behind us, well, it's not. She was diagnosed with cancer and sent to the university in Albuquerque, where the day that we arrived there, you know, it's only a 5-hour trip up there, but she had to wait 3 hours to see the doctor because he was home receiving the furniture. The next day, he came to see her and he explained to her about her cancer, the kind of cancer she had, and what the treatment would be, and if there was anything that she didn't understand, just Google it. Just Google it. The next day, she received her first chemo treatment. We picked her up. We brought her home. They had not given her the Neurastra shot, which apparently is given to chemo patients after chemo. After the 5-hour trip, I get her prescription and I go over to the pharmacy to pick up the medicine that she needed to receive immediately. Guess what? The prescription that they gave us was not signed. Okay. So someone mentioned that Karen was available day or night. Let me attest to the fact that Karen is and was available day and night. We got our medicine. I want to say thank you to Alicia and to Billy for this open forum, for transparency, so that we can say what we need to say about our center. We don't have to read in the paper about some class, something that's coming here. We have it. Thank you.
Linda Nichols, Nina Chavez, and Linda Click, L Click. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm not going to do as good as these people did. I put mine on paper, so I won't forget to say something I wish I'd said. So I'm just going to read it. My name is Linda Nichols, and I am a cancer survivor. I've been treated by the Gila Regional Medical Center Cancer Center since early 2003. When I started this journey, the Cancer Center was located to the left of the boardroom and was known as the Chemotherapy Infusion Center. The waiting area had one sofa and 3 chairs. There were 2 exam rooms and 5 chairs for chemo. The treatment area had no walls and was of a cubicle design. There was 1 restroom. Today, our cancer center, which opened in 2007, has a waiting area that seats about 20 people. There are real doors separating the waiting area and the treatment area. It houses 4 exam rooms and 2 extended care rooms and has 8 chairs. There are male and female restrooms. There are 2 restrooms for the patients and 1 restroom for staff. We've come a long way to have a baby. All this time, Karen could have been working in any cancer center anywhere, but she didn't quit on us because the facilities were so meager. Quite frankly, she has been a godsend to this cancer center. It has been her passion. It has been her baby she nurtured. I wonder, as many as you might, do you think UNM was courting us back then? During the scariest time of my life, I was cared for by Dr. Clark, Karen, and Mike. And I often tell people that I broke down and cried twice. The first time was when they poked me with that needle for my first chemo treatment. It made it real. This is really happening. But this is what's going to have to fix it. Along with my treatments, I prayed, and I prayed a lot. And that prayer was answered. And now I pray that the Board of Trustees will reconsider and do the right thing and scrap this change. It's not broke. Don't try to fix it. Most effective way to implement a plan or to change a plan is to, yes, develop an action plan. This is done by gathering information to figure out what's working, what's not working. To determine this, there is no other way than to talk to the people on the front line so that an informed decision can be made. When a decision is based solely on the numbers, be it money or a scorecard, you've taken the people, we the patients, out of the equation. And I can hear it now. Always going to be said, you will love it. You'll hardly see any difference. Well, let me tell you something. Even though I'm retired now, I was in the banking industry all of my time in the workforce. And I'm here to tell you, when there are bank buyouts or mergers, they say the same thing. You know, Mike? You won't even be able to see the difference. So I would ask you, how many of you had accounts or loans with a bank and it was taken over by another bank? Did you notice the difference? You bet you did. So don't buy into the story that you're going to love it. It's going to be business as usual. I am so angered that Karen and Mike were valued so little, that the people that would make this decision
would do a shoot from the hip decision. Right before they threw him under the bus. The announcement that world-class cancer treatment is coming to Gila Regional Medical Center pretty much says that those people think that we've had substandard care, and that simply is not true. It's not too late to do the right thing. I ask, please reconsider and do what is best for the patients at our cancer center. This change will not be.
Hi, my name is Nina Chavez, and I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the New Mexico Cancer Center. And I think it's timely that she mentioned the world-class cancer care, because I was going to talk about our quality. So as part of being the Chief Operating Officer, all the quality programs that we run, I make sure that they run not only in Albuquerque, but they run in our Gallup and our Silver City office. We have been a COPI certified practice for over 10 years. That is through ASCO, and it's basically the Quality Oncology Practice Initiative. We have our nurses trained with OCM certification. We make sure everybody has quality and that we do things appropriately for national standards. So when they say that, sorry about that, I get a little nervous when we talk in front of people, so maybe I should just say that and then I won't be nervous. when they said that they have world-class cancer care, I sat there and I said, okay, we've been a COPI certified practice. We're also ACR certified for our radiation oncology. We get audited every couple of years to make sure that we are doing the charts right, that our therapists are trained correctly, that our physics is done correctly. And we have people coming in and auditing us to make sure that we are world class. On top of that, in 2012, everybody knows Dr. McEnany wrote the Come Home grant. And she was awarded that grant to take a triage program across the country. And we have implemented that in all of our clinics. And we have staff that answer the telephones and triage your symptom calls, bring you into the office, so you don't have to go to the ER, and we take excellent care of our patients. Our patients come first, and it's always about the patient. So I take a lot of pride in making sure that our center has the quality that it needs so that our staff and our doctors can do what they can do and take really good care of our patients. So thank you.
Debbie Steele and Vernon Rawson, in that order.
I'm Susan Summerall. I was born and raised in this community. My dad came to this community 2 weeks before he was born in 1929. So that's how I got here. So I left Silver City. I served, I think it was a total of 4 years, maybe 5 years, on the foundation for the hospital. I was president of the foundation when the hospital chose to sue the foundation. It was a little bit more than I could take. And I'm saying, if it ain't broke, why are we fixing it? That is the only thing we've got going up there in a lot of ways. I don't know if you've been to the emergency room lately, but you know, after a 4 or 5 hour wait, you might see somebody that will pat you on the head and send you home. And you're going, but I don't feel good. Well, too bad. They don't care. this room's full of care, full of love. And I, one question I'd like to know is, where are the trustees? We're standing up here, we're pouring out our hearts, we're telling them how we feel, and hopefully they'll read the newspaper. But they should have been here. They should have been willing to face us. Not that I can see. If you're on the board of trustees for the hospital, please stand. Thank you. So, to me, that says a lot. They're going to do whatever they want to do, and it doesn't matter about you. And that's not what we need on trustees for the hospital. That's wrong. I want to know who was on the committee, how were they appointed, and who chaired the committee. We, you know, let's open this up. Let's tell. Does anybody know? Who was the doctor? As Dr. Skeet slides down the wall, I guess it wasn't him. I still have a couple more questions. We have a cancer center director by the name of Holly Hutchins, who prior to that was marketing. What are her credentials for this position? What does she do? Does anybody know? She is married to Rudy Martinez.
Thank you.
I tried to look up today and try to figure out her college. I couldn't find that. Supposedly went to Florida to school, but I can't find that she has a degree. I don't know what her business is, but she was a marketing professional, supposedly, and making $88,000 a year at that hospital, and then all of a sudden she became the position of cancer center at $93,000. What are her qualifications? Why is she there? Was it a political position? Did she get appointed there by being at home? Is her position necessary? What does she do? Why are we negotiating with UNM? I mean, you know, I pointed out what the points were. Beth's in here. And you talk to anybody, this is my last remark, you talk to anybody that's just been diagnosed with cancer. They went to Tucson, they went to Houston, they went anywhere. They had the surgery many times. And they say, okay, what about the treatment? Well, you'll be going to Silver, because it is world class. And you'll get good treatment and they'll love you. So they come home.
Hi, my name is Debbie Steele, and I'm here for my husband. He's at another meeting, but I want to say we're just at the beginning in our encounter with cancer, at the beginning, and we feel so loved and supported that I promise you I'd come and say that we're grateful that they're there, and we don't want to see a change. Thank you.
Couldn't ask for anything better than what they got here. We had family want us to go to Tucson, Phoenix, Indiana, different places, and we chose to stay here, and we're glad we did. And I do not understand this process. I think it should be open so we understand. In New Mexico, and I don't expect not to get dirty or anything, but New Mexico has a history in politics of doing things under the table. And this sure smells like something was done under the table. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Next, we'll hear from Sharon Barris, Orfa Gonzalez, and Charlene Jones, in that order.
I'm Sharon Barris. A lot of you know me. I've been around for a long, long time. I just can't even imagine why anybody would ever want to change our passive for any reason. I just don't see it. They took care of me. They've taken care of hundreds of my friends. My husband is just starting chemotherapy here. We've seen all kinds of places. We've been to Mayo Clinic where they're the best of the best. And truthfully, if you go here, we got the best of the best also. I can't even imagine why anybody would even think about changing them. I'd like to know whose idea that was. I'm like them. I don't understand why people want to do something when they never talk to the people who use the gas. I've known Karen since, oh my gosh. She was a... She was a nurse in ICU when I first met her. I just met Dr. Fontaine. She's my husband's doctor. But when we went to Mayo and found out that my husband had cancer for this time, we saw his oncologist there. His name is Craig Greeter. And he found out who my doctor was, who was Dr. Fontaine. I know her. He said, if she's the one that's going to be giving your treatment, you couldn't find anybody in better. I know her. I've worked with her. She's the best of the best. So don't worry about it. So if you got that kind of recommendation from Mayo Clinic and the people there, they have Mayo people that go to their clinic and help them do things. I know that because we talked about it. And you know what? We got a bunch of girls here that I've known since they were little girls. They went to high school with my kids. They're not just nurses. They're not just people who take care of cancer patients. They're loving kids who gave their lives to do what they do, whether they're doctors like Dr. Diaz or nurses like we had at the Cancer City, like Kelly, Shelley, Maggie. I forgot Christy. Friday. Anyway, they're here to take care of us, and they do a bang up job. They love all of us. They appreciate all of us. We appreciate them. And they're all available. What do you call them on their lunch hour? You call Karen only to cross the way from me. I guess I could run over and grab her. It's about as quick as I could call her, but she'd be there. And I want all of us consider what we're going to lose. My husband has only done one treatment. He's got four treatments. Every 28 days, he's got a treatment. Which means if they end up changing in July, I wonder if Dr. Craig Greeter would agree to the next doctor who's going to come and take care of my husband. I don't know that, but he agrees with the one we have. Thank you, guys.
Hello, everybody. My name is Charlene Jones, and I'm a cancer survivor thanks to Karen and Dr. Fontaine and the Cancer Center. And I appreciate it very much. Thank you. And tears flow forever and ever. I am Orfa Montanus. I'm a patient, and I'm here to defend what we already have the best. Why change that? I want to thank my family, my son, my brother, and my sister that are here for support for me and for the center, because they know what I have received there. I was astonished to hear that our cancer center was going to have changes that would affect the cancer patients. Yet we, the patients, were never informed beforehand of the changes. Karen DeGenevieve worked so hard to get the center here to serve us locally, and yet I feel that she is forced to leave what she has a passion to do, caring for us, the patients, in the best possible way. She made sure that we wouldn't have to travel afar. She brought Dr. McEnany and other doctors to serve us, to meet our needs here at home, and help us alleviate financial burdens. The ladies auxiliary are wonderful people to have, for they care for us. Why stop the best that we have already? Sorry. Questions in my mind. Why weren't we, the patients, the medical staff, office staff, to include the radiation staff, informed of the changes and the bid that was supposed to happen beforehand? Are we still going to have the same staff who quite cares and knows about our needs? Is the incoming staff well informed of our diagnosis, our treatment, what kind, how much, how often we need medical attention? For those that are here already know, already do, already are there. How familiarized will the incoming doctors, nurses, technicians, and office staff be of our medical needs and service us for what we need? Are we, the patients, going to receive the care that we get? We have guardian angels here already. Why do we want a substitute? I don't understand. We are known by our names immediately when we get there. We are treated with respect. We are treated with care. We have a family that loves us. Why do we want to change? Is that going to be interrupted? And us, the patients, are we going to be feeling left out in the wayside? Are our families going to feel that we will be safe in somebody else's hands? Thank you. And I love all of you.
Two sign-up sheets, and I want to make sure that everyone signed those. These aren't attendance sheets, they're sheets to sign up to speak. So, did someone sign on here that didn't want to speak?
There's one more here.
Okay, there's more back there. Okay, I'm just going to keep reading off names then. Ron Hall, Ron Henry, and Susan Clare.
Thank you. First of all, I want to thank the commissioners for having this. The transparency is something that's really important to all of us. I just want to be short and tell you my story. Late one night, my wife came, was told that she needed a blood test. She got it. Next morning, the doctor called and said, "We're going to fly you off to Arizona." Found out she had MDS. Because of that, it's a blood disease, not cancer. Because of that, then we weren't able to come home. because Jane had to have these infusions all the time. And I tried to get the staff to help me out to try to get us back to the cancer center because I knew about it. I tried to talk to the doctors. Didn't work. So finally I called a doctor, Dr. Stanley. Dr. Stanley had told me about Mike. I then called Mike. I said, Mike, I need some help. I told him what was happening. Now, I've been there already. We've been there for almost a week trying to make plans to come home. So Mike says, I'll call you back in just a little bit. In 1 hour, he called and says, get ready. You're coming home. That meant a lot. Amazing about it is whenever we got here, we had the best of care. I walked in and someone said, it was like family. My daughter's friend from school, the gal here and her family, always got it. I was like, I was home. Several times, and we had to travel then from Silver City then to Tucson and other places to get further treatment or trying to do something. And the only bad thing about getting treated here and somewhere else, I was spoiled. And I was so frustrated. And I told them all, I said, you should go to the clinic in Silver City. Get much better. So thank you, folks, for being here and supporting this, because this is what it's all about, is community support. Thank you very much.
So I wrote down what I wanted to say. I may have to say a few extra things too, because I didn't put any names in here about all the people that I'm grateful for. But I'm going to start out by saying my name is Ron Henry. I've lived in this community for 23 years. I'm reading this because I'm not comfortable not doing it that way, and I want to speak within my time limit. I use the word community for 23 years because this is one of the major reasons why I live in Silver City. We have a strong sense of community here, which I will elaborate on in a bit. I was diagnosed with a medically incurable form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. At the time, the stats said that it would likely recur in 2 to 3 years. And I believe the average or median lifespan at that time was 5 years. I'm standing here tonight, 10 years later. Healthy, I believe, for several reasons. First is all of the support I have from family and friends, and a bunch of those friends are here. In other words, because of a strong sense of community. Secondly, I'm standing here because of a highly professional and caring treatment I received at the Cancer Center. I had the best oncology. I also had the best in nursing. And in the Cancer Center, there was this same strong sense of community I've been speaking of. When I go to the Cancer Center now, and in the past, the care is not only highly professional, using the latest in technology, but warm and caring. Do you know what that means? More and more research is showing how important this element is in cancer care. I'm not a number. I'm someone they know and care about. My friend, Dr. Gilbert Adesaga, whom many of you know, once said to me, Ron, healing takes place in the context of community. I'm also repeatedly impressed with how efficiently and at the same time warmly the Cancer Center is managed, thanks to Mike and all of the staff. I mean, I've made phone calls there and I've gotten a call back from Mike in a matter of a few minutes. I called at night and gotten a call back from Mike. I was there last week for my yearly checkup with the oncologist, who's Dr. Fontaine here. And I thank her for her caring and the time that she spent with me and has spent with me. And my oncologist before that was Dr. Aladina, who was superb, and I understand that he's coming back, and I'm so excited that he's coming back to Silver City. I do not have to leave Silver City to get care. Why? Because some of the people sitting here tonight cared about this community, Karen DeGenovese and others. They had the vision to create the cancer center and to bring it to where it is now. And because of them, I had and have exactly the kind of treatment I need in this small community. Now, I'm not sure why the committee recommended a change. Perhaps it had to do with money. If so, that violates our sense of community. If UNM bid a lower cost, then I've got one thing to say. The only way they can do that is to cut staff or salaries or benefits or service or all of these things. And if they do this, it will be harmful to me and others as patients. And if I have to change oncologists and other caregivers, that will be disruptive and anxiety-provoking, not good for cancer care. I know that change is difficult. I happen to welcome change if things can be made better. But if something is serving as supremely well as our cancer center, then why would we invite unknowns into the picture? And everybody else has said this tonight. In other words, if it ain't broke, don't try to fix it. I can tell you, it ain't broke. Quite the opposite. And I hope this hearing is not window dressing. I hope it is for the purpose of really listening to what is best for patients. Thanks.
Everyone here has spoken with such eloquence and heart. I've been in and out of tears for the last hour and a half. And first of all, my name is Susan Clare, and I am a cancer patient currently at the Cancer Center. Everything that has already been spoken, I thought I was going to say, but you all have said it so well, I'm not going to repeat it. I concur with everything that's been said tonight already. The two things that I can offer as my contribution to this evening's open forum is that I'm the patient Dr. Fontaine talked about earlier, the one who has done so well in the last 3 months. Okay, 3 months ago, I was very depleted, very sick. I have metastatic breast cancer, and I wasn't really sure I was going to make it, you know? And I'm out walking again, I have a life again, and I feel good, I don't feel sick anymore. So that's one thing I can share with you, the results that I got working with Dr. Fontaine and everyone in the Cancer Center. The heart, the compassion, the dedication is phenomenal, which leads me to the second point I want to make. I have experience in being a patient in the UNM system and also here at Gila Regional. I can tell you, absolutely, the care I get here at Gila Regional far surpasses what I got at UNM Medical Center, or Cancer Center, okay? These are absolutely true words. I understand that, I think Dr. McEnany, you were saying earlier about the academic aspect of cancer, what doctors may be interested in providing. Excuse me. At UNM, because it was such a large institution, I never felt that I was anything more than a number. I never felt that anybody really got to know who I was. They were always rushed. They didn't even seem happy in their jobs. And one oncologist, I actually had her removed from my case because she was so rude to me and told me that I only had a 15% chance of surviving that previous cancer if I didn't have radical disfiguring surgery, Well, guess what? I had my own input to this holistic program, including Western medicine, but I got through it without her and without radical surgery, without any surgery, actually. Okay? And then I also wanted to say that within the UNM system, I think part of it is just because it's so large, they can't provide the kind of community-based, really personalized care that we've come to know, expect, and appreciate at the Gila Regional Cancer Center. And I thank you all for the care that I've gotten. I just appreciate you all so much. And again, the thing that I would like to stress that Dr. McEnany and Dr. Fontaine have stressed is relationships. We have relationships with our doctors, with our staff, the nurses, and they have relationships with us. And when we have a small community-based cancer center such as we have here, it really becomes, if I can say this, a pleasure to go and meet with our medical staff because we know that they care for us. Okay, we're not just some medical record that they have to fill out. We're human beings with hearts. They have hearts, and the connection is always there. And I thank you.
My name is Johnny Coburn, and I'm a cancer survivor so far. And I received nothing but the best of care from all of the staff and all of the doctors I went to. I was told at the start I had a choice, I could go anywhere I wanted. I called and checked around, and I was told I would not get any better care than what I got right here. There's a couple of things that bother me about. If this board of trustees is so sure of themselves, how come they're not here? Yes. And if UNM is so sure they're going to provide a better service, how come one of their representatives is not here? And last but not least, I lived in Albuquerque for 20 years. During that 20 years, UNM Hospital was not the choice of the people in Albuquerque. I still have a lot of friends up there, and it's still not the choice of the people in Albuquerque. So I don't see why it should be forced to be our choice without us having a say about it. And that's about all I have to say.
I'd like to start by thanking Mr. Billings and Ms. Andrews, Edwards, I'm sorry, for calling this special meeting. What I'm going to do is read a letter that I wrote and hand-delivered to the Office of the Board of Trustees on the 4th of May. My name is Charlene Daugherty, and I have been a resident of Silver City for the past 13 years. In April of 2015, I was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. What ultimately ensued was a 2-year-plus battle that literally brought me to my knees. It was the Gila Regional Cancer Center, Karen, Mike, Maggie, Shelley, Kelly, Martha, Shay, and many, many more that propped me back up. Imagine my dismay when I read the article that stated the board was considering replacement of the longtime contractor with the new world-class cancer treatment provider. Why would you replace what you already have? Perhaps you have a different definition of world-class. Maybe the new provider is cheaper. But call it what it is. Don't demean the current facility and its staff by claiming you are going to give Silver City something better. And finally, speaking on behalf of myself and all the men and women who currently or in the past have undergone treatment at the Gila Regional Cancer Center, understand what it is that you are about to replace. Certainly, it's not about the equipment. What you have is state of the art. And it can't be the facility. That too is comfortable and more than adequate. So the only things left are the people. In your quest to replace the staff, you must find a manager who takes the time from a busy Saturday to come to a book fair to purchase a signed copy of this author's book. You must find qualified nurses who not only share their own life's dramas, but are interested in learning about their patients. You must hire administrators and assistants who know their clients' names and take an interest in their lives. And you must hire doctors and nurse practitioners who understand that cancer treatment involves a lot more than just chemotherapy and radiation. The care I continue to receive at the Gila Regional Cancer Center is focused on the whole person, not just the malignant tumor that was in my breast. Unlike other hospital visits where a patient is admitted for a time and then released, curing cancer can go on for many years. Every day that I enter the Gila Regional Cancer Center for a follow-up test or doctor consult, I feel blessed to know I am receiving world-class treatment. Thank you.
Being treated for cancer. I have leukemia. I was diagnosed in 2012. They caught it early. Been told it's the good kind. And I guess it is because I just take a pill every day. I haven't had to go through any of the hard stuff. Of course, that pill doesn't make me feel very good sometimes. But I work for the hospital in EMS. I am on the ambulance several times a month. I love our hospital. I've been with the hospital for 15 years. I've seen a lot. The cancer center is the only part of the hospital that people never complain about. They complain about us. They complain about the emergency room. They complain about the floor. And I think all of it's awesome, actually. You know, I think our hospital is full of caring caregivers. But I know that nobody ever complains about the cancer center. And I feel like we need to keep it. I've been to a couple of board meetings, and I wish I'd have gone to more. I think we all need to be more active in our community. And I intend on being to more of them and making my views known. Thank you.
Excuse me again on some of your names. Linda Amon Smith, Karen Hughes, And if anyone knows who signed up after Karen Hughes, it'd be that person. And if not, we'll go with Gail Dunnigan.
It's hard reading those names. Let me, I'm Linda A. Smith. Let me tell you a couple of things about me. I want to let you know that I was an academic researcher, and my area of expertise is organization and organizational change. And let me tell you, the kind of change that's being proposed here is treacherous. The second thing I want to let you know is that my darling Arthur Larry Taylor was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer in November 2010 and was given maybe a year to live. And because of Karen and Dr. Barbara McEnany, we had almost 3 years together. And hallelujah, praise God. I have some real concerns about the final decision and who actually gets to make it. And how are they going to hear the voices that spoke tonight? As a person who studies organizations, I have seen the way that organizations really change as they morph and can move from being really care-centered to being cash-centered. But your lives are not a commodity. Larry's life was not a commodity, and I'm ever grateful for that care he got. You know, I used to live in California, and Henry Kaiser had a big corporate conglomerate there, and on the side of trucks they painted, "Find a need and fill it." And what I kind of fear might be going on here, I'm just going to express a fear that I have, is that what is happening here is digging a hole and then getting paid to fill it. I'm really wondering if perhaps there is some background going on to set the hospital up for acquisition. It's been a real trend in rural hospitals in the past few years to essentially say, oh, well, they're not doing a very good job, they're not making money. But that can sometimes be created by the particular executive team that's in place. So if you can create a bad situation and then say, oh, the only way we can handle it is to sell it, where does that leave us? So I want to really echo what Ms. Meyer said. There is a board of trustees who made a decision or assigned a committee to make a decision to make a recommendation. They're not here. Let me encourage you this. If you want to have a good care system here, put in your application to be a member of the Board of Trustees. Put in your application now. I understand there's one opening. Put in your application. Give up 30 good people to choose from and figure out a way to make a voice, our voice, heard on that board. Thank you.
Later, and I love this community, and I love what we have, especially in our cancer center. And I'm a cancer survivor. When I first went in and I had a meeting or something, then Karen never gave up on me, and Mike never gave up on me. I couldn't believe after I had the endoscopy that I had been found esophageal cancer, and my father died of esophageal cancer when he was 86. So I was just, really afraid. And when I went, I tried to fix it myself. You know, went to Hawaii, took medicines, took voodoo, did all sorts of things. It didn't work. Mike still didn't give up on me. And so I made the appointment and joined the cancer center.
and the treatment that I received and all the things, they made me well again, and I'm a true believer in that. And but it was the compassion and the emotional part also that they put into their work. And I did the chemotherapy, and all of the doctors and the nurses, and I remember all of them that put up with me in my jive. So I appreciated all that. And Dr. Winter, the cowboy guy, and I see him every year on cue that I've been a survivor for many years now, and I'm very appreciative of everything that they do. And I think that I've never been around to any of the hospitals or don't know, I was never a sick person, and so it was all new to me. But I appreciate everything that everybody did. They were so loving and kind and courteous and caring, and it's unbelievable the treatment that we have here in our community thank you.
Hi, my name is Gail Dunnigan, and everybody has said pretty much what I feel, but I'm feeling like it's preaching to the choir. We're here because we know what fear it says when they say, oh yes, your tumor was cancer, you have cancer, and you completely cannot believe it. The fear, as we know, is simply incredible. And I must say, I don't wish cancer on the short-minded trustees. However, I would like to do is give them the thought that they have to say, oh my God, all your teeth have to come out, but you have to change dentists. And I would like to know how they feel, because it impresses and compromises the situation so badly. Yes, we all heal. I'm a survivor of 8 years, and there's an outside that I'm hearing that belongs to my story as everyone else's. I wasn't just treated for my cancer. Little by little, Karen learned about my family, which was all out of town. Then she learned my husband was in the final stages of Alzheimer's. And that was a part of my treatment and a part of getting better. You don't get that by being a number. And again, I wish bad teeth and new dentist for the trustee.
George McGregor, Annie Murray, or Tony Murray, Rebecca Van Ness, in that order. Tony Murray or Tammy Murray? There's about 9 more. Is there a Tony or Tammy Murray? Rebecca Van Ness, did you want to speak?
Raise your hand if you want to speak.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Steve Reese?
Bill.
Nathan Williams or Williamson? And Carrie Johansson.
Good evening. Ms. Donovan will be a hard act to follow. My name is Steve Reese. I've lived in this community all my life. For those of you that don't know me, I retired as a police officer after 30-something years of service, most of it here. One of my mentors is Ron Hall. I was raised by my parents to have ethics and integrity. And my dad was a big force in my life. He was diagnosed with lymphoma in 1977. And while he was being treated for that, with a new cancer drug, they discovered prostate cancer. And so he went through radiation treatment. For the next 40 years, my dad battled two kinds of cancer, back surgery, hip replacements, arthritis, you name it, my dad had it right, Karen. On April 15th, my dad lost his battle. He was in Fort Berry. And I watched that man travel from here to Albuquerque before we had a cancer center. So the last few years of his life, Karen and Dr. McEnany and your staff made my dad's life bearable. You guys were a blessing. During that time, going to the cancer center, everybody has already said this, how they're a family. And it's not just the cancer patient, it's everybody else that's attached to them that they try to deal with. And Karen, after my dad moved to Albuquerque, she was still on the phone answering questions because Albuquerque would not tell us. So, but I want to talk about something that has been addressed a little bit. The Board of Trustees are not here. They're not here to listen to our concerns. And it's my understanding that these are people that are not medical people. So why is it that they have not asked the people that have been dealing with this for 22 years what their opinion is?
He works for them.
I'd also like to know why in this community, if there are so many medical personnel around here, why aren't your applications flooding the commissioner's office to be on this board? You know why? Because it's not easy being in those positions. And Harry, you guys are going to find that out. That's why you ran for office, right?
Of course.
Commissioners only get to pick who comes. And if they don't get people that are educated, have the knowledge necessary to make these decisions, what are the commissioners supposed to do? Now, having said that, you guys are responsible for this hospital, are you not?
Ultimately.
Well, I have to tell you that for many, many, many years, this is what I've seen. We have a board of trustees, let them take care of it. Now our board of trustees has a committee. We'll wait to see what they tell us. Who's going to stand up and take accountability for what's going on with our cancer center? I will tell you this, I still get around. I still know a lot of people. And this is just a little tip of the iceberg of what's going on. Okay? It's hypocritical, in my view, when I see hospital staff busting the gut to live up to those signs that are plastered all over the hospital about patient care, and look where the Board of Trustees are. I say that because I know of other instances that the Board of Trustees have had the attitude, hands off on the day-to-day operations. Okay, but you still have to act responsibly because you've been given that job by these guys. And you guys need to make sure that Board of Trustees is doing their job because we voted you in that position, just like I was when I got voted sheriff. I would just like to say thank you, Karen, and to your staff. You made my dad's life very, very good his last months. So he's not here anymore, but I am here to talk for you if you need it.
mistake. I was just signing up to say I've been here, not that I wanted to talk. But
I'm Dr. Williams. I'm an anesthesiologist at Gila Regional for the last 10 years, for the last 8 years full-time. I'm not going to be able to add anything to the quality of care that the Cancer Center, the New Mexico Oncology, has delivered here since before I ever knew about this place. When I first talked to the CEO here 10 years ago, the Cancer Center was the example he used to say, it's a good place, you ought to come here. The problem that we haven't talked about is this decision wasn't made based on clinical care.
Right.
And I think Dr. McEnany will agree with me. She knows some of the details of continuing discussion between the board, the administration, and New Mexico Oncology that I'm not privy to and have only heard alluded to in various meetings. This was almost certainly a decision made on regulatory, organizational, potentially financial basis. And if you want to address it, that's how you address it. We can sit here and wring our hands as long as we want about how good a job people do in the Cancer Center. And I have absolute complete agreement. But if you're going to change the decision, you need to change it based on what the decision was made for. Dr. McEnany knows a lot more than she's maybe even willing to say here in public. And, you know, some of it may also be things like it's shiny to have the University Cancer Center that has all of these certifications for their international and national treatment protocols and experimental stuff. I've been to dinner with Cheryl Wilmot, nobody else here has other than Dr. McEnany probably, and she can be very polished. I don't think Dr. Wilman will ever be here taking care of my Medicaid friend on the ward like I've seen Dr. McEnany do. But all that aside, this decision wasn't made on clinical care basis. So if you're going to change it or address it, you need to address it based on what the decision is made for.
But how? How can you do it?
My name is Carrie Johannes. I'm a retired nurse. I worked at the University of New Mexico School of Medicine, the University of New Mexico School College of Nursing, the New Mexico Department of Health, the Breast and Cervical Cancer Program, and I've been a nurse in New Mexico for over 40 years, but I was also I'm the surviving wife of a patient who had to choose while we were living in Albuquerque between care at New Mexico Oncology and UNM Cancer Center. A lot of the reasons that have been expressed here today are the reasons that we chose New Mexico Oncology versus the University of New Mexico, and we had treatment at both places. Having worked at both places, having worked with teaching hospital, I saw how the care was fragmented. I don't think we need to reiterate that. I think it's important to remember that UNM is taking care of the rest of New Mexico as well. So you're not going to get the level of attention and individualized care down here that New Mexico Oncology brings down here. I've worked with RFPs, and I've worked with state contracts and monitoring state contracts, and I have to have, I've got a lot of concerns about letters of support that may or may not have been brought to bear on this decision-making process from the community, from partners in the Department of Health. 17 years ago, I started calling Karen and Mike for follow-up information on breast and cervical cancer patients who we were paid by the Centers for Disease Control to follow in order to determine whether we had different incidences and prevalences of the cancers in New Mexico. For a while, CDC, well, for a while it was thought that Indian women didn't get breast cancer because we didn't have any numbers. And so I'm one of those bureaucrats that everybody loves to hate, and my husband was a bureaucrat for the Centers for Disease Control, so he was a pretty astute patient as well.
became his primary care provider for two separate cancers. He died 13 and a half years ago from an indeterminate cancer, and my friend Gwen, for 40 years, came up after he passed away, and I had an appointment with Dr. Liebman, or my husband did, a few days after he died, and I called Dr. Liebman and I said, can I keep that appointment and come in and talk to you about what just happened here? Because giving him end-of-life care at home wasn't the issue, it was, what am I going to do now, trying to figure out that he's dead and we don't know what he died of. So there was a level, I couldn't have done that at UNM, even as a staff person. I mean, I knew how to find my way through, you know, different clinics. And I'm here to tell you, this is, you're going to have students, you're going to have teaching attitude, you're going to have academic medicine. I mean, you know, we were all published and very important. And that doesn't mean that you understand or are competent in the community. My best friend 40 years is, you know, down here. She's been holding my hand for the last 14 years, and probably longer. So I just wanted to say that if UNM takes over this cancer center, and I would like this to get into somebody's record, I'll take my business elsewhere. And so I don't think this helps. I'll go back to Albuquerque for care, or I'll go to Scottsdale to stay with my daughter and get care over there. So I don't think that they're taking a very long view of whatever financial element they're considering as regards this procedure. That's it. Thank you.
Best I can tell, we have about five more who have signed up to speak. Gwen Jones, Laura Davenport Reed, and Cheryl Spicer Phillips. Spear. Okay, very good. In that order. It looks like someone is circulating a petition. I don't have anything to do with that, but if you'd like your petition, I'd like to give it to you. Thank you.
And I didn't put the word petition on it because I thought maybe people couldn't sign it if it said that word.
Okay, not a petition.
It's a letter.
Hi, I'm Gwen Jones, as you might have guessed. I have been a patient at the Cancer Center this past year, and I received excellent care, and I'm back. I really appreciate all of the staff, the doctors, Karen, of course, and all of you have said all the things that I had in my head to say. So I just want to say amen to all of your stories. And I also would like to talk to the county commissioners that are here and ask them what recourse we have, because I haven't followed this closely enough to know where that process is. Is there a possibility of reconsidering and changing this situation where it appears we're on track to have a contract with UNM? What is our next step? The hospital board meetings are open to the public, and that, you know, who reads those legal notices unless it's something that affects them personally? And you know, we could go to those meetings, but I don't know that is it too late to do that. And can the board of commissioners exert some influence over the hospital board based on what's been said here tonight by a huge crowd, and I know that not everybody knew about this meeting. Probably could have filled about three or four more rooms. So I feel like you really can't put a price on what's exhibited here tonight, and that is community. And I don't think the people at UNM are going to care. as much as people, these people that have been doing this job for 22 years have already demonstrated. And I, you know, I too had that phrase in my head, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, can somebody answer my question about where the process is and what all of us could do to influence that? Or is it too late and we just kind of had a love fest that's not going to have the effect we want?
I feel like you're looking.
Well,
Harry and I are truly just audience members tonight. We came to listen to what everybody had to say. Alicia and Billy have done a tremendous job of getting you guys gathered and getting you. Now that being said, they've been commissioners just long enough to find out where the restrooms are here. So they're probably not going to answer all those questions. The fact is, yes, the commissioners do appoint the Board of Trustees, 2 to 3 per year. The only influence we have on the Board of Trustees after that is whether or not they get reappointed. So, now if you guys remember a few years ago, we pushed a little more influence around than that and had some changes. These are the kind of things that make that happen. At this point in time, I don't believe the commissioners have taken a position on that, because the only time we can take a position on something as a Board of Commissioners is when we sit right up there. We do it in an open meeting with a quorum. So if we do something like that, that's where you'll see it happen. It won't be here. Just to let you know that. Can I answer your question at all? Probably not exactly how you want it.
Is it not too late?
You know, I can't answer that question. When is the next Board of Trustees meeting?
Week from Friday.
Next Friday. I would go to the Board of Trustees meeting next Friday.
Where? What time?
At the hospital. At noon.
No,
go
they
in
don't.
One at a time. Go in one at a time.
Yep.
Or call up there and ask to talk, and they're welcome to use this room.
They better use it.
Okay. Anything else? I really shouldn't be speaking, but thanks for taking my time.
So just to clarify, that Board of Trustees meeting is at noon? Friday?
Not this Friday. Next Friday.
Oh, okay. So not this coming Friday, a week from Friday. Okay.
And by the way, the public input part of the board meeting is the first part. You can sign in. There's a sign-in sheet at the beginning of the meeting. And then you can speak after they've read the preliminary stuff. So I'd encourage everybody. It's a small room, but if they have too many people, you can overflow to the hallway. My name is Laura Davenport Reed. I'm a primary care physician in Silver City. This is my 15th year in Silver City. I do internal medicine and pediatrics. And first of all, I'd like to nominate Nancy and Susan for the next president and vice president. And also Mr. Reese as Secretary of State. So I think they have some great things to say tonight. I remember standing in this room 15 years ago. I hadn't even moved here yet, and the county was considering selling the hospital to a private entity. My husband, Johnny Reed, got up to speak, and he was asked to take his hat off by the past county commissioner, and the formalities were interesting here, but we spoke about what it would mean if a private entity took over a county-owned hospital, and I'm glad that never happened. And I'd like to say a couple more things. I've been at all of the meetings that have been held regarding this. I wasn't on the committee. I don't have much to do with the hospital anymore other than being on the medical staff and being on the medicine and the pediatric staff. There's a lot of sort of formalities that people probably don't understand about the hospital. The county commissioners appoint the board of trustees. There are two physicians that are on the board of trustees. One of those is open. There's also a layperson position open. From what I understand, neither of those have been filled yet. There are many committees in the hospital. There are many departments in the hospital. And a lot of it is confusing even to those of us who are participatory every day there. But there's a medicine department, there's a chairman of that department, there's a surgery department, there's a chairman of that department. The committees are varied. We have a peer review, we have a credentials committee, we have an ethics committee, we have several others, and the chair people of those committees are on what's called the medical executive committee, which makes recommendations to the board of trustees. So the medical executive committee meets the week before the board meeting. They give recommendations to the board for certain issues that come up. Okay. The committee that was formed for the RFP process was formed by the administration. And so there was one position on that committee. I don't know how many people were on that committee total. The committee for the RFP or for the new CEO had three positions on that committee. And so the, you know, only having one on the committee for the cancer center was, I think, a gross misjudgment. When this came out in a press release the middle of April, I was surprised. I called Karen up and asked her if she knew about it. She said no. Nobody had contacted her. I asked if Barbara knew about it. She said no. And then it was posted on Facebook that same night. And I don't know who did the press release. I don't know who was responsible for that, but I have issues with that person. And then the following day, the medical staff all got an email from our supporters at the hospital, the medical staff committee members, asking us to meet the following day to have a discussion about this RFP process, and it was already decided, it had already been a press release. So at that meeting I made some waves. I said, this is not right. I said, we need to ask the medical staff, including the medical executive committee, to weigh in on this. And so we did. I contacted our chief of staff, Dr. Corey, who sent out an email to all of the MEC committee members, and they basically said they wanted to have a vote of no confidence for this contract. We were then, thank you, we were then told that there would be a board meeting the following week, so I went, Karen went, she gave a speech. This was published in the paper, part of the public input, and part of our input was there as well. And at that time, you know, my feeling was we needed to involve the community, we needed to involve the patients of the cancer center, their families, we needed to involve the rest of the medical staff in the community and get this going. So this meeting, I think, should have happened months ago. It definitely should have happened months ago. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I called Karen last night. I didn't know about this meeting tonight. I'd been out of, my mother passed away less than 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be here. Today was my first day back in clinic since that happened. 4 out of the 10 patients I saw in my half day this morning are cancer center patients. 40% are cancer center patients. And we all had, you guys know, my clinic ran over, and I was late because we all had discussions about this, and I knew who was going to show up tonight. And one other patient that I have, her husband's also a patient of the cancer center. So I can say, I can call up Karen, I can call up Dr. McEnany, I can call up Mike anytime. I do that almost on a daily basis. And I'm so glad that they're here. We have world-class care here. We have a medical oncology home model. We have a come home program that UNM will never have.
and we have care here that we will never see again if they leave. So thank you very much.
My name is Cheryl Spear Phillips. I'm a 10-year survivor of stage 3 plus cancer. And people ask me, what did I do? And I said, I did everything. And at the time, we didn't have the opportunity to have radiation here. I had my chemo here, got diagnosed here, had radiation in Albuquerque, and 2 months later, the radiation came down here. Many things have been said that I agree with. I want to tell you a couple of things. Raquel helped me incredibly to get through the finance area because I didn't have insurance at that point. And she and all the other people in the cancer center really worked hard to help me get through this. I have since been able to say, give that care to somebody else, which is great to be able to do. I want to thank Mr. Ontiveros for being here. I worked with him as a mental health professional for many, many years. I think that he helps to give us transparency in what he can get from the different places. and I appreciate that very much from him. And he's here, which is great. Thank you for being here. One of the things that occurred for me during the time that I was having treatment, I worked the entire time, except for when I had to go and live in Albuquerque, which is a boring city if you are not from Albuquerque, for my radiation treatment. I did find a choir up there, which was pretty cool. But several things happened, and one of them, Dr. McEnany, and I'm sorry I don't remember your name, Dr. Fontaine, I want you to know that my daughter, Honey Phillips Rosner, followed me in this cancer treatment. She had no real purpose where she was going to go, what she was going to be able to do. And out of this trip that I took and that she took with me, she found a silver lining and she became a pharmacist. She worked with the Cancer Center in Albuquerque. She also became a when you combine the medicines, compounding pharmacist. She worked with Martinez down, and she did everything. She went full bore, and the Cancer Center, all of them, encouraged her. All the people encouraged her. I know many of you here. I'm a native New Mexican. I transplanted from Deming. My family came here in 1904, so I think I'm pretty here. I've lived in Grant County, which was a big thing to do to leave Luna County, let me tell you. I've lived here for about 34 years now. I have been a mental health therapist for 42 years. And one of the things that Karen and I have talked about often is that out of my gift of being able to be alive, with all kinds of help and love and care and joy and all the things that happened, is that I do provide, through my practice, an opportunity for people to come in and talk with me if they've been diagnosed with cancer. Gratis. Please, for the first time at least, come in and say, I just need to figure out what the heck is going on here. I'll try to make it not be about my cancer, because it's not that cancer, it was the cancer that we got rid of, which is great. The other thing was that when I had my cork taken out, the doctor who took it out said, can you tell me that you really had inflammatory breast cancer? And then I had just regular old breast cancer too.
And I said, yes, why? He said, I don't think you did. And I said, yes, I did. Stage 3 plus. Why? Nobody I've ever met who had inflammatory breast cancer has survived. Mm. That's pretty incredible, folks. I was here in this community. I'm still here in this community. I have a daughter who is just inspired to be the best that she can be in pharmacy. Mm. I have friends like Karen and many of you. All the people that I work with, people that I met in the cancer center. I used to go and just sit there because Martha and I could sit there together and say what books have you read, and I could just be quiet for a few minutes before I went back to work. So I encourage all of us to remember that we can bring about the change we want to bring about. Let's make the Cancer Center even better. Let's put resources where the resources need to go. Let's hire more people so that we have the care and the ability to provide that for everyone in this community. Let's keep our community growing and moving forward. So I see my little sign says, please stop now. So I just want to say thank you to everybody and to all the council. Meetings are at 9 o'clock on a working day. I haven't been able to make it yet. Change them. So it'll be at 6 o'clock.
Dr. Jim Ski and Martha Stewart.
I've been a physician in this community for 36 years. I've been CEO of Cancer Healthcare for 22 years, board of trustees for 2 years, chief of staff of the hospital, various committees, chief of medicine for heaven knows how many years. I see Barbara. So I walk both sides of the street, administrative and medical. I'm going to first talk about medical and talk about administrative. Medically, I refer to the Robert McNamee's group 100% of the time, without hesitation. It's a quality organization, probably one of the best, I think the best in the state. It's just quality work. I have full confidence. UNM, is not on my list. It just isn't. It's a black hole. I never get records back from them. It's just not in the same class. It's plain and simple. And, in talking to various practitioners about this, every practitioner I know is just nodding their head and, just don't understand this. It's just a bad decision. It is such a bad decision for this community, for my patients. I don't know what, I think Boutique Air is going to need to get bigger airplanes. That's what's going to happen. If the hospital thinks their numbers are going to improve by this change, they are absolutely wrong. I was chair of the finance committee when I was on the board of trustees. And it ain't going to happen. I'm sorry. I walk both sides of the street. I'm just going to close real very quickly here because it is getting late. But I suggest to the commissioners that they really examine the way they appoint trustees, because if it's working, keep doing the same. It might work and do something different. But this is just a series of bad decisions the hospital has made over the years. And it's not just one decision in 1 year or something. There have been a series of bad decisions made for going back close to a decade. And those of us who work hard, the number of hours I put into that hospital as a volunteer, it's well into the thousands. And, it's really a disappointment to see the diminution of services that has taken place in our institution. People talk about losing the hospital. The fact is we have lost a good portion of the hospital already. There are not as many services available there now as there used to be, or we're not delivering those services. A lot of stuff is going on in town that should be staying here. And this will just accelerate that in my point of view. And most of the staff I talk to, it's just such an incredibly bad decision. And I think the commissioners have to really look at how they appoint trustees. Quite frankly, I don't know if you're quoted correctly in the press, because I know presses don't always get the quotes right, but I'll tell you, what you need on that board of trustees is people who are going to give the CEO of the hospital administration not an easy time, but a hard time. Because in years past, you're not going to be appointed trustees. Because who wants a hard time? It makes life difficult. But it makes for a stronger institution.
Thank you.
Here tonight. My name is Martha Stewart. When they were talking about having two chairs in the oncology office, I sat in one of those. This has been going on a long time. They take great care of you. I was feeling really bad last weekend. Called on Monday and got an appointment at 8:30 on Tuesday morning. I couldn't have gotten in urgent care, much less the ER that fast. Got in to see Karen. She set me up. For an x-ray, she said, "Oh, looks like you've got a little bit of pneumonia and we better get it taken care of," and here I am. But they've taken care of me all these years. I had leukemia. It developed into something worse. That got my immune system. I now go every 4 weeks. They give me a new immune system, which still doesn't work sometimes. We can't let these folks go. We absolutely cannot. Dr. Mack was my doctor, and I've called Karen night and day over the last few years. So talk to the... Please do. Thank you.
We haven't quite been here 2.5 hours yet. Is there anyone else, one else? I thank you. I was considering actually as late as today whether I had made a mistake by opening a can of worms or whatever, and I appreciate the attendance. This is way more people than I thought we would get here. I thought I had heard 90% of the information, and I learned tonight that there was a lot of information that I hadn't heard. And I do need to not be disingenuous. I do need to say that there are 7 members of the Board of Trustees. 2 of them are physicians. It's my understanding that they were invited. All of them were invited. And I actually heard from 3 of them personally. And I wish I could tell you the excuses, because there was 3 very good excuses from the 3 that I heard from. I'm being sincere. I wish I could say what they were doing, because one of them, and this won't identify, this person is actually seeking medical care, so he couldn't be there. And the other 2 had, one of them is working, and one of them is had another very good excuse. So I would be disingenuous if I didn't say that. I don't know about the other 4. It was brought up about the applications for Board of Trustees. I think those are due June 5th. And if you don't know how to get those, the county manager's office is just right through that wall. You go around the other way. And we do encourage people to apply for that. I think that... I think we've said about all that we can say. I will say that there was an attorney who contacted our attorney, and she cautioned us on some things. I don't like it when the attorneys are the tail wags the dog, and I know there's some other commissioners who don't like that, and probably some trustees who don't like that. So I can promise you as one commissioner, and I can't speak for the commission, please understand that
I'm not going to drop this here. I'm going to find out what we can do and where we can go. And I appreciate your input. This speaks loudly. And it wasn't just a love fest, as was brought up. I think that we can take this and act on this. I'm really hopeful that we can. Thank you.
Meeting. 13 favors. 13 favors.